Right, welcome back to the Whole Topic podcast. Today we're going to talk about 8 homemaking to-dos I try to do no matter what season of life I'm in. So I've been a mom for almost 16 years, and I went through a period of time where I think I had 5 kids, 8 and under, and so I had to be very rigid in my schedule. And like the kids would nickname me Rabbit because I was so rigid in my scheduling because it was like breakfast, like bedtime, everything was just so, it had its place and that was part of my survival. But here is 8 things that after this long of being a mom and homemaking that over time I picked up and I realized like these 8 things, as long as I did them, and most of them take 5 minutes or less, and if they take longer than that, not hardly at all. And there are 8 things that have stood the test of time over the last several years. Even when I just had a baby 14 months ago, like there was a couple weeks where my husband like bands me to this chair because I'm an all in or all out kind of person, and he knows that, so he kind of just made it so that 2 weeks after I have a baby, I'm banished to the chair. That being said, these 8 things still will continuously hopefully get done. I just have to assign them. My husband will either work on them or my kids will work on them. And like I said, they all take very little time to do, but they're so impactful in just maintaining the home and maintaining just a clean feeling in the home, even if I'm not like deep cleaning every day, which nobody enjoys doing that. But here we go. Let's get right into the list. So the first part, the number one, is always have your meals at the same time. This is like a, what would you say? This is a pillar in our day. I try very hard to have our breakfasts by 8:15. Our lunches are between 11:30 and 12:30, and our dinners are between 5:40 and 6:15. Yeah, I know that's a little bit of a like a half an hour, give or take there, but it's because my husband's job, so I have to kind of like make sure we're working with his. But it always gives the kids and myself like something, okay, this is a mile marker in the day. This leads to this time of the day. And it just makes the day flow really well. Everyone kind of knows what to expect. Whoever has dinner with me that day, they help me just get it on the table by that time. And that is a pillar that I don't know that I'll ever change because it brings everybody around the table morning, noon, and night to just reset, talk to each other, see how we're all doing. And then we all can get back up and keep on whatever it is working on. Then number two is sweep main traffic areas. Now, this might be weird, but it's kind of therapeutic for me to grab my stick vacuum and vacuum every day because I have many feet in the house, even though we don't have shoes in the house. I feel like it could always be vacuumed, and sometimes twice a day. It feels like it could. This is something that I have found really just keeps the home feeling clean. When you vacuum, people pick up. Like the kids don't want their stuff getting, vacuumed. Now I'm not gonna go vacuum their stuff, but it definitely makes us think like, okay, mom's bringing the vacuum in. We have to clean up the floor. We have to make sure it's completely, all of our stuff is put away. So besides being therapeutic, everybody's always thinking about, okay, mom's bringing the vacuum out. So like, let's get things cleaned up. So if you're in a season where you're like, no, girl, I'm not vacuuming my house, the entire thing, it's not therapeutic to me. It's honestly going to drive me insane if I add that to my list. I'm going to say this, just do the main areas. Do the kitchen, the dining room, the family room. You know what the main areas that you walk into and you're like, oh my goodness, like this definitely needs to be vacuumed. And you know what is going to be the most problematic area in your home that tends to need a lot of sweeping. So just every day, pull your sweeper out. It takes less than 5 minutes most of the time, unless you have, I don't know, maybe you live in Buckingham Palace, then you might need to hire someone to vacuum. But if you don't live in a very big house, just get your broom out and get your stick vacuum or whatever you have and just vacuum it. I promise you, it's going to help things make look way cleaner and it doesn't take as long as you think. So the next thing is wipe down all the surface in the kitchen. This would include the table, the countertops, this will also help you, like when you wipe the counters down. One, it helps you just feel like things are cleaner. And two, it makes you think about what's on your counter. And then you find yourself starting to be like, I don't know, maybe the if you give a mouse cookie domino effect, where if you wipe your counter, you might see something on there that you don't want on there. And once you clean that off, you're gonna get in the mood to, clean something else up. So wipe the surfaces of your counter, even if you never declutter it, and you decide it's not the season for you to declutter at all. At least you're making it clean, and not just allowing grime or food or anything just to sit on it. And it just makes it feel cleaner, even if you have things on the countertop. So then the next one is wipe the bathroom sink down and check the toilet. So I have a pet peeve about bathrooms. Bathrooms that are dirty, I'm not a fan of. It's something, especially with this many people in our house, I don't want a smelly bathroom. If we've ever gotten to a point where I feel like the bathroom is starting to smell and I can't get it clean, I'm like, I call my husband in because he's really, really good about like doing whatever he does, he cleans it out really good. So I'm like, I can't do this. You need to reset the bathroom. You need to go to the toilet and you need to figure out what's going on there. And he'll come in and clean it up and reset it. So I don't have to deal with that. But then throughout the week, every single day, my 12-year-old son volunteered to do the toilet bowl. And so he's responsible to go in there, get a rag or a wipe, whatever it is we decide to use. He's supposed to check it and make sure there's no gross stuff on it, clean it up. He's supposed to like pick any trash up and put it in the trash can. And he only has to deep clean it once a day. Sorry, once a week. He has to use the scrub brush on it if it looks like it needs a scrub brush. But for the most part, he just has to deep clean it once a week, and it takes him less than 2 minutes to do that. My sink, my 8-year-old, she does the sink in the mirror. She wipes those down. It takes her less than 3 minutes. Then I have my 6-year-old. She takes out the trash and helps me pick up the floor. And then my 11-year-old, she goes and takes and does the tub. The tub, I asked her to wipe. I like they have to wipe down the tub because there's like this layer of dust that gets on the outside that just bothers me. Maybe it's just because we're in a construction zone, but I don't like the dust on there. And I don't like soap scum in the bathtub. So she has to go in every day and just take a rag, and takes her less than 3 minutes to do this. So it's not like these things you're doing, if you really think about it, like I would set a timer and just time myself. And I was like, okay, so this is 8 items, but they don't take me very long, and they make the house just beautiful and like feel clean all the time, even if I can't get to everything else. So she'll go and she'll just make sure that the tub is tidied. And then once a week, we'll do a deep clean. We'll pull all the soap out, and we'll like do a better scrub with some vinegar and baking powder soda is what we use. And so the bathroom all gets done, and everybody only spent about 3 minutes in there in the day. Who was supposed to clean that up? My two older ones, they've been assigned to a different task in the house that is more like it's a little bit more challenging, but it's something they can get done in 5 minutes as well. If you have kids that can help, I truly recommend getting their help. There is nothing wrong with your kids taking the time to help maintain the house and help make it beautiful. And they take ownership of it. And kids that have responsibility, it empowers them in a way that if you're just like, no, I'm going to do everything for you. Now, I definitely think there's a balance. Like, they're not slaves. They don't have to, like, I believe I'm supposed to be involved in some way, somehow, working all the time. Like, that's my job. That being said, I'm not afraid to give them a job and say, hey, this is your job, this is your task, and you're going to see it through. So, use your children's help. The next thing is to run one load of laundry from start to finish. Now, I'm sure you've heard this one before, but it's very true. For me, it might be the size of my washer, but it also might be like the way I do things in my house. But I actually run about two, maybe three loads of laundry a day. I want run one right before we go to bed, which is usually towels and rags, because I do not like using rags and towels over and over again just because I don't trust them. So when people use them on wiping the table or something, and they put them back in the sink, I don't know. I don't trust them. I have too many kids to trust that, it didn't land up on the floor on accident or whatever it is. Maybe they wiped the table off and fell to the floor. It just goes in the basket. So at night we run all the towels, the drying towel for dishes, like everything gets run the day that night. Then the next morning I gather all the kids' clothes and we put that in the washer. Then Micah and I, like, I'll put our load of just whatever else is in the house that needs to be done goes in the washer. And I just take it right from the dryer, put it on my bed, sort it all out, and put the rags and towels away, and the kids take care of all their stuff. And I just don't ever have any clothes right now sitting around because it's getting done. So just figure out what your family needs to make sure your laundry is maintained and just go from start to finish. It's way easier than you think. And if you're kind of a perfectionist and you're like, well, I can't do that because I have to fold it so perfect, you actually don't have to fold it so perfect. If you have kids, get them to help. And if it's just you and maybe you do want to fold it perfect, that's okay. Maybe just do one load. But if you do it from start to finish, you won't ever land up with a mount laundry. And no one likes mount laundry. So the next thing is keep up with the dishes. Now, this might be easier said than done, but I think after every meal, like we don't have a dishwasher, we're not putting a dishwasher in our house because I personally have found that a dishwasher is a waste of time for at least this many people. I like to wash the dishes, you're rinsing the dishes off, then I'm putting them in the dishwasher, then the dishwasher's washing them, taking up whatever electricity it's taking up, and then I have to have someone go in, and generally the dishes aren't even fully dry in the dishwasher, so someone has to go through and dry them and then put them on. And so it's just, to me, I'm like, just rinse and wash the dish and let's just put it away, like let's just be done with it. So it takes about 15 to 20 minutes after every meal to do this, to wash and dry your dishes. Now, something I learned from a friend of mine. She was reading a 1950s homemaking book. And she, I think I've shared this in one of my other podcasts, just in conversation, because she was the one that shared it with me. But if you make dinner and you know the pan is going to have issues to clean out, this is a tip for dealing with that. Scrape the food out of the pan. I know, God forbid, you're going to use another dish. But if you're pretty sure that the bottom of that pan is burnt, scrape the food out. Soak the pan while you're eating dinner, because I promise you, when you come back, either it will be ready to just scrub out, or you might need to let it go through the night. I haven't had a pan that I've had to let go through the night in a very long time, just using this method of just soaking it while we're eating and then coming to it. But if you can keep it with the dishes, that is kind of a big deal. It definitely makes things just stay tidy and clean, and your brain just kind of stays organized. So this one, number seven, I go between 15 and 25 minutes. Just depends on the project. Like sometimes I feel like 15 minutes isn't long enough. So just know your season, know what you're doing, but set a timer for 15 minutes and declutter or throw trash away. Like if you have a spot where so many people, they try to organize and they think more bins and more things to organize their clutter is going to fix the problem, but it's not really going to fix the problem. You probably need to start with decluttering. So when I have had to deal with, like, especially when we're moving, like there was these very daunting tasks that I had to go through. Or I, you know, even every season going through the kids' clothes, like resetting that. It's a very good idea to just set a timer and just declutter. Like try to declutter, try to grab trash and throw it away. And this is only if you're in a position where you're very overwhelmed and you don't have any control over things. If your home is already pretty much organized and you're in the maintenance area, well, then just pick one place in your home each week. Like, say you want, and just start in. Okay, let's say the family room. Okay, so this week I'm going to move all the furniture in the family room, mop the floors. Okay, let's set the timer 15, 25 minutes and do that. So just setting 15 to 25 minutes towards a task that's important to you in one of the rooms in your house. I have found this to be extremely beneficial. Once the timer goes off, we're done, and that's it. But it's the habit and the consistency that is such a big deal. Like habits and consistency and rhythms are the things that will get you the furthest in life, not big grandeur projects that you decide to do one day and hope that it's gonna help you maintain everything for the rest of your life, because it's not. It's the small habits that count. So lastly is number eight, and this is similar, I guess, to the first one of just having your meals on time, is have a consistent bedtime. Like my kids and I and my husband, sometimes he does, but we get up at 4 o'clock every morning. We have found that in our house, that is when our energy is most, that is when We can focus most on whatever goals it is we're working on. My two oldest are writing a book right now for their last high school credit, and they're super close to having that done. And my other two kids are trying to get through the next couple grades of school, so they're up every morning working with us. But in order to get up that early, we also have to have a really like early bedtime. So by 8:30 every night, everything needs to be done and tidied, and everyone needs to have the oh, how would you say that? The ability to go to bed at 8:30. Like they need to have that option. And most of the time I end up like falling asleep at 9, but 8:30 is when we try to be in bed. But it's so consistent that the kids just it's so bedtime for me is very easy. Even Chloe, like even my baby, we have not had to deal with her like flipping out or being up till 12 or 2 or 3 or 4. Like she goes to bed when we go. Like Micah and I, she's so in the system of going to bed at 8:30 with us that she's in bed by 8:30 and sleeps till 7 or 8 in the morning. And it's not, I haven't sleep trained her. We haven't like tried to go out of our way to be awesome or anything. But just having that consistency is like, it's one of the best things I think we've done in our home, is just to make bedtime routines consistent because it makes the next day so much easier. So if I had to decide how much all of this took for me to do, like all the little items I said that we do, I would say on a hard day, it would probably take an hour and a half. But for the most part, I don't know. I don't think it, I don't even think if all of us are working together on different things, but usually we just, you know, at 3:30 is when we clean. I just hand out the jobs. Or they know what their job already is because it's already a consistent thing. I would say it takes us about 1 hour from start to finish to complete all of these tasks if I had to just decide. That's not bad. That 1 hour of like everything's tidied in its place, house is vacuumed, the dishes are done, the laundry's done. Laundry doesn't really count because that's something that just kind of goes throughout no matter what we're doing. But it's definitely worth your time, even if these aren't exactly the things you want to do. Maybe come up with a list that's really important to you. Like these are just my top eight, but maybe you have something else that's more important. But the point is just to get something on a list and be consistent with it. It definitely makes consistency makes homemaking a lot easier. And when you have something reliable that your kids can look at and be like, okay, this is what we have to do today, and this is what we have to look forward to. It just makes things so much more peaceful. I think the biggest, most unpeaceful thing is when my baby just squawks and screams super loud because she doesn't want, get what she wants. And then we have to give it to her because she's so cute. But no, like that is our job as moms, is to create a culture of organization and things that our family knows, because if we are all over the place, they are going to be all over the place. And we only have ourselves to blame for that. So, of course, you need to know your season and you need to know what you actually can handle, but just do something. Do something that's going to bring more peace to you, to your family, and to your home. That is my top eight homemaking to-dos, and I hope they help you, or that you make your own list. So,